Part 21, Cork. Chapter 41. It's already daylight when Cork wakes. He rolls to his side and a fist of pain punches his ribs. He sucks in a loud breath and groans. "Finally awake," Rainey says. She's sitting at the fire with Malou. Cork rises slowly, feeling like a man decades older than he is. He glances around and asks, "Where's Moriso?" "Trying to catch us some breakfast," Rainey says, and nods toward the lake. "Do we know what this lake is?" Malou says,
"I have always called it Bazaar Nedea."
"A place to make peace with your heart," Rainey translates. "On your map, it's called Cloud Lake." Cork rises and comes to sit by the fire, grunting in pain as he does so. "It'll be good to get your ribs looked at," Rainey says.
"You told me they weren't broken."
"Only a guess. An X-ray would confirm it, and you need to rest." Cork shakes his head.
"Still a lot of work to be done."
"There are others who can do it," Rainey reminds him.
"I want a piece of whoever's behind all this."
Malou laughs. "What's so funny?" Cork says.
"Blind fox,"
the old man says, shaking his head.
"Yeah? What am I not seeing, Henry?"
"It is right in front of your eyes. What you have asked for has already been given."
Cork looks at Rainey, and his irritation at the old Midday dissolves. Malou's right. For more than 2 days, Cork's most fervent prayer was for the safe return of Rainey. His prayer has been answered. Still, the idea of stepping back from tracking down whoever is responsible for this whole mess doesn't sit easily with him. Anton Moriso appears, stepping from the woods onto the flat rock above the lake.
"Anyone hungry?"
He holds up 2 large mouth bass. Malou smiles.
"In my years, this lake has given me fish many times."
"Of course," Cork thinks. Malou has spent a lifetime in this wilderness. He wonders if there is a hill or a hollow the old man doesn't know. Rainey cooks the fish over the flames and they eat. They are just finishing when Cork hears the distant hum of the search plane engine.
"Let's get down to the lake," he says, rising.
Rainey and Moriso stand too, but Malou doesn't move.
"Uncle Henry,"
Rainey says.
"You go,"
Malou tells her.
"I will walk back on my own, and I will take my time."
"That's a long walk, Henry," Cork cautions. Then hears the stupidity of his words.
This old man has just spent days on foot in these woods. What's another long walk to him?
"All right. Can we leave you anything?"
"The pack. It contains my knife and hatchet and flint and steel. And I have this."
The old Midday lifts his medicine bag.
"That is all I need."
Rainey bends and kisses her great uncle's cheek.
"For everything, Uncle Henry. Chi miigwech."
Rainey and Anton Moriso start away, but Cork holds back.
"Thank you for keeping her safe, Henry."
"Not me,"
the old man says and smiles again.
"The Creator must have plans for her."
Deputy Dave Foster is in the search plane with the Forest Service pilot. He updates them on all that the Sheriff's Department knows at the moment. The most important piece of information is that Stephen and Lou Moriso's sister Belle are in Bina. They have an idea where Lou Moriso might be. When he tells them, Anton Moriso nods.
"Should have thought of that earlier," he says, as if kicking himself mentally.
"We had a lot of other things to think about," Cork reminds him. Foster looks toward Rainey.
"The sheriff's pissed at you and Malou for letting Lalou slip away."
"Exactly what crime has he committed?"
Rainey asks.
"I don't know. Collusion, maybe? Conspiracy to commit murder? Something. One of those guys shot at you, after all."
Lulu wasn't a part of that, Rainey says. That's not how the sheriff sees it. Just warning you. She'll be waiting at the dock when we land on Iron Lake. And she is. As the de Havilland Beaver noses up to the marina, she exits her cruiser and walks to meet them, scowling. With Rainey's help, Cork steps from the plane, moving stiffly because of his bruised ribs. Morning, Marcia. Good to see you alive, Cork, she says perfunctorily, then eyes Rainey. What could you possibly have been thinking, you and Henry? Lulu, you mean? That's exactly what I mean. I'm not law enforcement, Marcia. I have a different duty. What duty could possibly drive you to set free the man who tracked you down? That's all he did, was track us down. He didn't threaten us in any way. Tracking you down certainly put you in harm's way. She nods toward Rainey's bloodied shirt sleeve. You need to have that looked at. He kept Henry from being shot, Rainey says. Where is Henry? Dross looks past them into the plane cockpit. Deputy Foster, who was the first out of the plane, is bent over, securing a line from the Beaver to a cleat. She gives him a hard look. Dave? Foster straightens up and says, he didn't come. What? You just left him out there? Not his fault, Marcia. Cork says, Henry's choice. Let's just leave it at that. Come on, then, Dross says. You both need medical attention, and I'll give you an update on the way. Dave, give Mr. Morisseau a ride back to his vehicle, then report to my office.
Thanks, Anton, Cork says. The two men shake hands, and Morisseau replies, anytime. In the cruiser, Dross questions Rainey about Lulu. Did he tell her anything that would shed light on why the men were after Dolores Morisseau?
I didn't ask him about that, Rainey tells her. I had other business with him.
Dross shakes her head.
Could have used a little help with all this.
What about the man I left tied to the tree? Cork asks.
We still haven't identified him, and he's not saying a word.
And the guy Rainey shot?
Still missing somewhere out there in the boundary waters. Azevedo and the search party spent some time this morning trying to track him down, but with no luck. We did locate the Escalade our bogus Lou Morisseau drove to Sam's place, abandoned on a logging road off Highway 2. Stolen.
What about the imposter?
Nothing yet. On the plus side, though, Stephen and Morisseau's sister think they've got a lead.
What is it?
A map of some kind. Maybe gas lines in Canada. They're not 100% sure. But more important, they think they might know where Lou Morisseau is hiding. They'll check it out today.
Foster told us. Cork says, I've got to get to Bina. I'm going with him.
Not until a doctor examines you and those ribs. My ribs are fine. How do you know?
Rainey told me.
I didn't tell you that. I just said probably not broken. You need an X-ray at the very least,
Rainey insists. Take me home, Marcia, Cork says in a cold voice.
Hospital, Dross says in a voice just as cold. Hospital, Rainey says, more gently, but just as firmly.
Cork looks out the window at the streets of Aurora rolling past.
He admits to himself it feels good to be home and to have Rainey safely beside him. But all his training and experience demand that he leave again. Still, arguing with Rainey and Dross won't get him anywhere.
Hospital,
he says.
Make it snappy.